Good morning. Gosh, felt rather loud. It's really lovely to be here. I know Pete, I think over the past year or so, we've been meeting in Stafford as part of a network that we gather together in, and he invited me to preach. So, you know, this is my first time certainly coming down this road. I used to live in Bordesley Green and moved last year. But I always think it's a good idea for folk, if you're listening, to know where your speaker's coming from, you know, so you know a bit about my background. I was born in Birmingham many years ago, actually not that many. No, let me amend that moment. Grew up most of my life in Smethwick. Anybody know Smethwick? Yeah. And then I left. To go to university. And I went to Sussex University. And that's where a bit of a peculiar journey began. And I know that as a church, you're talking about journeys and journeying into the presence of God. And, you know, my journey was a bit peculiar because I ended up at Sussex University. And I come from a Sikh background. So, the Gurdwara, you know, that was my home. So I ended up at university and I met some really nice people, didn't realize they were Christians. Some of them were a bit peculiar. Do you know any? And you know, they were just really nice people. And there was something about them, I thought, you know, I don't know what it is, but there's something about them, can't quite put my finger on it. And they were very nice to me, you know, they'd sit with me, talk with me. And then one day they invited me to something, and I thought it was just a talk. And, you know, first term, first year at university, and the title of the talk was, Where on Earth Are You? Now, I didn't realize that this peculiar gathering was called Mission, or outreach, or evangelism. But I went along anyway, just because they were there, you know, they were good friends, we hung around. And the title of the talk was, Where on Earth Are You? And, do you know, I sat in that meeting and I thought, where am I? Where am I? Not physically, I'm not talking about a physical space. I'm talking about a spiritual space, an emotional space. Where on earth am I? And what is my life about? To cut a very long story short, on that evening, I gave my life to Jesus. And I decided that I was going to follow Jesus. And that sort of just turned life right ways up for me. And the long and short of it is, because God has a fantastic sense of humor, he called me to ministry. And I am currently the first and only Asian female Baptist minister in the UK. I hope there'll be more to come. But it wasn't something I looked for, didn't understand it. You know, church was an interesting place, you can imagine, for me, coming from a different culture. But that's where my journey began. So I've been ever since trying to journey into the presence of God and what that means for me. And I believe that the question that I was asked all those years ago on the evening that I encountered Jesus is a question that's as relevant then as it is today. And the question is, you know, where on earth are you? Where on earth am I? You know, we are leading up to Easter Sunday. We always look forward to Easter Sunday, you know, resurrection. But there's a journey to take over Lent. And I wonder what God has been speaking to you about. And whether this journey has been difficult, challenging, questioning, questions given, repentance, explored, challenge given, journeys. We're all called to journey. And, you know, Jesus reminds us in Luke chapter 4 The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. As it was his mandate, so it remains ours. And each one of us is called to explore that mandate and to own it for ourselves. Now, what I'd like you to do is just to turn around and look at people. I know some of you are probably used to each other's faces, but I just want you to turn around, have a good look at somebody. In a friendly way, please. Friendly way. Now, the one thing you would have noticed is that each one of you are different. Yes? Each one of you are unique. Each one of you have a unique DNA that God created, formed, and shaped. So the reality is that there's no one else like you. Yeah? Does everybody agree? Yeah? Even if you were a twin, you would still have a unique DNA. So your journey is unique to you. So as you journey into the presence of God, your journey will be you shaped and you defined. So what I want us to do in the time that we have is to join a small group of very ordinary people like yourselves, like myself, and they went on a journey with their friend. And they knew that they had to accompany this friend on that particular journey. That he needed their support, he needed their encouragement. So what these friends did, this group of friends, they pulled out all the stops for him. So I'm going to invite you to come on a journey with me. Are you prepared to do that? Hello? Actually, before we do you mind if I just pull out a chair? Is that okay? Yeah? Can I do what I like? You may regret that. I'm just going to pull this chair out here. And in fact, has anyone been to the gym lately? Feeling strong? Is anybody feeling strong? Why are you so reticent to respond? Is anybody feeling strong here today? Okay then, gentleman with the lovely exclamation mark on his t-shirt, and would you like to come forward? Thank you. It's a bit scary when you don't know what the speaker's going to say. Caution, work in progress, fabulous. Hello, your name? Your name? Sam?
Sam and John.
Sam and John. Sam, would you like to come on this side? Right. Jim, can I just ask you to do something? Willing volunteers. Would you lift me in the chair? You haven't got back problems, have you? No? Okay, so you need to bend your knees, yep. Or all 10 stone.
Ready?
Plus.
3, 2, 1, go.
Yeah, that's lovely. Now, could you do this for the rest of the service? Did you see how swift their response was? Thank you both. I was hoping at least you could have held me for a minute longer, but I realize the Punjabi physique carries poundage. There were some friends who were prepared to journey with a particular individual, and I'm going to ask you to walk with me because we realize that carrying somebody isn't easy. It isn't easy. So let's join the scriptures in Mark chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he'd come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus. And after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We've never seen anything like this." Journeys. Here was a man on a journey with his friends. In this passage, I just want us to look at three types of people who were individually on their own journeys. There were those who helped, those who hindered, and those who healed. The helpers. The first group I want to introduce you to are the ones I would describe as the helpers. No names are given. They're quite simply a group of ordinary people who were concerned about the welfare of their friend who was paralyzed. So they got together, they planned, they prepared, they strategized, and they decided that they needed to get their friend to see Jesus. You see, they'd heard about just this Jesus, about the miracles he'd performed, and believed that if only they could get their friend to see Jesus, well, the rest was up to him. Because obviously there was no way that the paralyzed man could help himself. He was utterly dependent and reliant on the initiative and goodwill of his friends. In order to carry out this weirdly unorthodox plan, the group of friends put aside any thoughts of being inconvenienced and prioritized transporting their friend to Capernaum because Jesus was in the area. These friends recognized their role and responsibility for their part in the life of their friend. Now you may think, well, it's not too hard, but just remember that scene of struggle of a few seconds of holding me in the chair that actually is very sturdy. Let's remember there were no tarmac roads, no buses, no taxis, no special mobility transport or motorized wheelchairs. Imagine the group of four carrying their friend on a makeshift cloth stretcher. They've been walking for a while. They're feeling puffed out, dusty, hot and bothered, exhausted by the journey on foot through the uneven tracks, steep and narrow lanes, tight bends. We don't know how heavy this person would have been. He would have had to be strapped in because he had no control over his movements. These friends don't want to take their time as there's a sense of urgency about the mission. Finally, they begin to approach the lane. It's a bit like me coming down Rowlands Road. "Thank you, Jesus, I've made it to the church, even though I went on a detour. Thank you." And they approach, only to their dismay to find that the entrance to the house is blocked. There's already a packed crowd, inside and out. People have got there first, taken the front row. The house and courtyard is stacked with people listening, and you can just hear one voice in the distance. I don't know about you, I'm not going to be super spiritual or holy, but I would have wept. If I'd been one of those four friends, I've struggled to bring my friend on the stretcher here, only to find that I cannot get in. What a waste of journey. What would you have done? Would you have given up at this point and said, "Oh well, so close and yet so far, next time, eh?" Or would you be prepared to go the extra mile and think, there has to be a plan B here? There has to be a plan B here. And I know there are some plan Bs in this fellowship. So you spot the staircase on the side of the house, of the leading towards the parapet to the roof of the house. All is not lost. So as a group of four, the Fantastic Four, you strategize again. Again, just let's just remember there was no stanner lift or hoist at this point. No proper handrails. Health and safety was not at the top of their priority list. So carefully and mindfully, you take your friend, carry your friend. All of you together, you do one, two, three, you do the count, you lift, and then you try and go up these narrow stairs. You get to the top, the rooftop, you get to the parapet. Job done, you think? No, not quite. Because interestingly, the owner of this house has built a really good, sturdy roof. There are no holes, no cracks that you can push your friend down or lower them down. So, yep, you've guessed it. They start to break into the surface of the ground, of the parapet. And together you start to make a hole in the roof. And, yeah, you're aware of costs. You know how expensive it is to retile roofs. You know the cost there, but there was something of greater cost at stake here. So as friends, you forget the cost, forget the money, and you just start to take things and dismantle the roof. How far does loving others really take you? How far does it take you? What it is, it's amazing, isn't it, to have such faith-filled friends who are willing to step out to help, willing to take the time to plan and prepare, take their friend on a journey towards Jesus, who used their initiative. They didn't give up when faced with obstacles. Recall your own faith journeys and the friends who accompanied you and those who prayed for you in the background so that you could move forward in your journey with Jesus. So I would encourage you to keep on going, keep on persisting, even if there seem to be apparent obstacles. As you connect with your neighbours, your work colleagues, your community, persist, persist. 2 weeks left before resurrection celebrations. Who are you going to accompany to church on their journey towards Jesus? So there we have this fantastic four, the helpers. But there was a second group in that crowd, the hinderers. Now, do you ever find that when you've set your mind on something for God, that you face an unusual level of opposition? Yeah? It may be in the form of physical blockages, or spiritual, or emotional, or confidence deficit, or what if it goes wrong? What? Things that normally wouldn't even have been on your radar suddenly become a red alert, attacking your mind with fear, anxiety, apathy, negative scripts, wanting to hold you back. And I can assure you that even washed in the blood, dried out in the fellowship, believers can sometimes be a discouragement to one another. But it's part of the journey to build the inner faith, to keep on persevering. This group of helpers, the friends, had faced opposition by the physical blockage of the crowd outside the house. But more specifically, there were people in the crowd who weren't necessarily supporters of Jesus, the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious element. The ones with the learning who knew scriptures off by rote, who knew the traditions. They could quote Old Testament scriptures. Teachers of the law, the leaders, the titled, the influence exerters of their time. They were there to catch Jesus out, gathering ammunition to trip him up, questioning his authority, his authenticity. And, you know, I have to ask myself, why turn up to a meeting if all you're going to do is to be critical? And of course, the scribes and the Pharisees, they took the front rows. They took the best seats so that they could eyeball Jesus, I bet, and watch. It's a bit like it's a bit like inviting a Villa fan to go to a West Bromwich Albion match, although Albion didn't do too well yesterday, did they? I can't imagine a Villa fan voluntarily going to watch West Bromwich Albion. I hear a murmur or two. But just imagine you are the Fantastic Four. You're amongst the Fantastic Four. You're feeling shattered and dusty and sweaty. You feel as if your friend is getting heavier because the journey has been long. And then, you know, you've arrived at the place and you're seeing disapproving faces because you're causing a bit of chaos. And there are people who are seated and you're disrupting their way of doing things. And the scribes and the Pharisees are irritated by the fact that you are making a hole in the roof. Hinderers in the group. They were sitting there waiting for Jesus to trip up. I love the words of St. Francis of Assisi, who said, "Preach the gospel at all times. When necessary, use words." How powerful is that? Preach the gospel at all times. When necessary, use words. And the Apostle Paul told the Corinthian church, "You yourselves are our letter, written on our heart, known and read by everybody." So just imagine, you are an oil painting. You're a poem. You're a gift. You're an epistle. You are a gospel. So when you go to Tesco's round the corner, the light of Jesus is shining through you. So be that good news. You see, someone once said, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Let's ensure that we are helping promote and release the gospel of Jesus Christ. The final person I want us to turn our attention to in this group is the healer. Just imagine, Jesus is in there. He's in the group. Is that the central heating or externals? We'll just carry on. We'll carry on. It's a bit like the rooftop scenario, isn't it? Through the radiators. I love the sound effects in church. You know, we had a hallelujah earlier. Now I have a quirky central heating system. At least it's working, praise God. So Jesus is preaching. He's in this mixed crowd. And you know, Jesus was very mindful of everything. He knew that the crowd was mixed. He knew that there were some there who just wanted to soak in the word that he was releasing, the message he was sharing. Some wanted to be inspired. But there were some who were critical and judgmental and against others. So imagine the scene. You're there. You're in the crowd. You got there before others did. And you're immersed in what Jesus is saying. You've never heard teaching like it. You can hear a pin drop, literally. And then suddenly you hear muffled voices coming from the side of the building. And a bit like the radiator, it distracts you. And someone says, steady, steady. And there's puffing and panting. And there are steps on the dusty stairs. Then suddenly there's a thudding noise from above. What is going on? You're sitting below the roof. And you're thinking, what is going on? And suddenly you see particles of dust falling from the ceiling. And then suddenly there's a thump. And then a hole appears. And then you see some eyes appearing through this ever-increasing circle. And those of you who are wearing headscarves, it's getting all covered with dust. And your cloak, you know, your lovely, pristine, lovely white cloak, dupatta, that you've got on, suddenly gets dusty because of some activity that's happening above. And I suppose if you're like me, you're thinking, why doesn't Jesus just tell them to stop it? This is a really holy moment. And I'm trying to communicate a message. And who's going to foot the laundry bill at the end of the day, more to the point? But perhaps you don't think like that. Perhaps it was just me. And interestingly, Jesus doesn't lose it. He doesn't shout up at the group of friends and say, stop it! Have you no idea of the sanctity of this moment, because I'm speaking. He doesn't tell his group of 12 to go and sort them out, get the brothers onto them. He doesn't do that. And neither does he shout out, this is private property. You do realize that there's no insurance on this property and you're going to have to foot the bill. You see, for Jesus, these so-called disruptions are not a point of stress. For Jesus sees in this group of friends a parable being worked out. They're doing the very thing that he's been teaching, that he's concerned about. His concern is for soul care. Going beyond the borders, reaching out. Following Jesus is costly. It would cost them their wages to repair the roof, but they were following Jesus' terms, going out of comfort zones, into places and spaces that are unfamiliar. And interestingly, Jesus knew all about this man. He healed his spiritual condition first by forgiving his sins and then dealt with the physical condition. Only after this order of activity was the man commanded to rise up and walk. Job done. Job done for the friends. At least they didn't have to carry the friend back. What a relief. Thank goodness Jesus was on point. But you see, as we journey towards the presence of God, this is what these friends were doing. It took faith. It takes commitment, sacrifice, courage, boldness, determination, and perseverance, as you will know. Jesus worked with the faith demonstrated by the friends, the Fantastic Four. He then did his part. It's so important that we do our part. I go back to the question at the beginning of my time. Why on earth are we here? Why on earth are we here? Our sole purpose in life, I believe, as a follower of Jesus, is to journey with others, towards the presence of God, is to introduce them to Jesus, the one who saves lives, who saved your life, who saved mine. And I would just ask you today, who are you journeying with? Who are you going to journey with? Has somebody's name come to mind? Has God prompted you over the weeks and you haven't had time to write that letter or make that phone call or drop an email or Facebook or Twitter? Who is God calling you to walk with, take out for a cup of tea, visit? We're all on a journey. Let's make our journey count, just as these fantastic friends did. And the amazing thing was that there was healing and new life for the man who'd been paralyzed. There are many in our communities who are paralyzed in their minds and in their souls and in their spirits. And they're recognizing that what is on offer in the world actually isn't meeting a need. It's just causing them to spiral further and further down. And your good news. Isn't it incredible that God sent his son, Jesus, to walk the walk, talk the talk, and walk the talk? And he's our example. He's our model. And Jesus reminds us that we're called to do greater things than he did. So may the gift of healing flow through this body. May the gift of encouragement be released in your communities. May hope come from your lips. May inspiration be released over your minds. May you experience resurrection in the deepest and most profoundest way. Not only for yourselves, but for your families, for your community, this city, this great city of Birmingham, and this nation. If you resolve in your hearts, if I resolve in my heart to play my part, to fulfill the God-given purpose that he's given to me, can you imagine how exciting that is? The difference that we make, transforming, releasing, not only ourselves for the purpose we've been called to, but our communities. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for this journey, Lord God, that you are taking us on. Thank you that you go before us and, Lord, we follow you. Thank you for the friends who've carried us over the years. Thank you for their faithful prayers and their generosity of time and kindness. Pray, Lord, that we also would be equally generous as, Lord, we serve you. And Father, for this fellowship, this church, I ask that there would be, Lord, a joyous sense of your spirit, of your power, of release and breakthrough as you minister through each one. I pray your blessing upon them, your encouragement over them, your inspiration released through them, Lord, to transform wherever they walk, whoever they have conversations with, Lord God, so that people will see your face and hear your voice and be blessed by your presence. because of your followers. Amen.